home of the stars, the airwaves, and on the big screen. We're live from Hollywood. It's Super J Radio with your host, Garrett Miller, starring Paul and Matt.
Whoa, ho. Oh my God, you are on this game, buddy.
I'm so on it, Paul. 2 weeks in a row.
I know. I didn't even ask beforehand. It's like, oh, yeah. No. I'll
Saturday.
See when it starts up. Happy fucking Saturday to you.
Wow.
Jeez.
Another week. Can you believe another week has gone by?
I can. This week kind of went slow for me. So it's like, yeah, finally Saturday, and I'll do something fun and just hang out for an hour. And you had a really good week. Now, Sweat and Testify, I'm at your number one where?
Number one, I'm grateful, and I'm not laughing at that it's number one, but it's number one on the hip-hop charts on numberonemusic.com. And the way the music industry works right now, if you've got one elephant in the room called iHeartRadio and then nothing else. And so if you are not a Taylor Swift or a Justin Bieber and you've got the big record label machine behind you throwing trillions of dollars at the stations for payola, that's how it works,
right,
folks. You hire a record promotions manager for hundreds of thousands of dollars in A markets like LA or New York, and then they get the songs on the iHeartRadio stations across the region, and you pay them, and then they pay the radio stations. They might not give them cash, but they magically somehow give them gift cards to give out to fans that never get to the fans, or cars to use for promotional purposes, you know. So since, you know, indie artists like me don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars for promo, we go to all of these other independent radio stations or online stations around the country who play music and, you know, listen to fans and actually do what radio is supposed to do, is play music, you know, people want to hear. And so on Number One Music, I submitted a couple of songs to them several months ago. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Sweat and Testify has just picked up a life of its own. And it has gone to number one on numberonemusic.com in the hip hop category. So this white boy has got the number one hip hop song on number one music in the U.S. It went from number three to number one. So, it, you know, and it's overall on their charts. It's the number 14 song in the country. And
wow.
I say that with stunned gratitude and honor, because I will tell you, somebody who I sang with last night, Miss Sherry Payne of the Supremes, her song, her song is called Remember, and I'm going like, something to remember. I'm like, that's the Madonna song, but Sherry Payne's song, you know, she was the lead singer of the Supremes from 73 to 77. Her song is number seven, I think, on the R&B chart, and number 74 nationally. So, you know, you've got these amazing people that are out there who've had, you know, amazing careers who are now going, okay, well, we need to, I don't want to say play the game, we've got to play the game a little bit and submit and to these other formats and stations. So that's what they're doing. And so Sherry Payne and I are on the charts together this week, which was just, you know, funny, because I was talking to her last night and I said, you know, not only are we in the studio today working on the La La Peace song, but we are also on the record charts together this week. And she says, what? You know, she's got people that, you know, kind of take care of all of that for her. And
right.
So I get a big chuckle out of that. But I'm number one on hip hop, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I see Street Thug when I think of you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, sure. No, hip hop.
I'm living a thug life right now.
No shit. Lettuce and begging for gas money.
Can I tell you, I'm going to tell you another secret that I can't even believe I'm going to share this with you. And when I tell you, you'll go like, that's not a secret. That's the dumbest thing you've ever said. But, you know, I got to the studio yesterday at 3, which means I left my house about 12:45. So it took me over 2 hours to get to the studio up in Northridge. Keep in mind, that's only 55 miles away from where I live. So
wow.
Everybody and their grandmother was on the freeway yesterday on the 405. So I get to the studio before 3 o'clock, you know, or right at 3. And we start probably around 4, you know, doing stuff. And I get to be one of the chanters on the La La Peace song. So I'm in there with Pam Vincent, and I'm in there with all of these, you know, just Jessica Williams and all these amazing, amazing talent, you know, from Motown era. And then there's mm-hmm. me, and I'm just in awe of these generous, beautiful, fantastic singers that are, you know, taking pity upon me to let me be in there with them. And I'm just ever so honored. But we're there for, you know, hours and hours and hours, because after we do our part, then the other singers are doing their parts. And so probably about like 9 o'clock, everybody says, we need to get some pizza. So you know where this is going, Paul. And so we ended up going to get a couple of pizzas, and I had 3 slices of pepperoni and mushroom pizza last night. It was really good. I have not had pizza for probably like 3 years, because, you know, Papa don't eat a lot of carbs.
Right.
And it was delicious. I am not going to lie to you.
I was going to say, now you can't have carbs till Christmas.
I mean, I'll just have to do like 17 hours of cardio a day or something like that. Right? I got a question. So I saw this new thing. Mike Drayden out of New York, he's going to be a guest on Rated LGBT Radio sometime in May. I had to reschedule him because he was supposed to be on next week, but I'm going to be in Phoenix. So he posted this like 30-day squat challenge thing. Have you seen this?
No. You know how much exercising interests me.
Yeah, a lot. So this is why I bring it up, because you are kind of like my Richard Simmons. And so he posted this thing. It had a graphic on it. And day one, you're supposed to do 50 squats. Day two, 55. Day three, 60. Day four, you take a day of rest. So I guess it's like 3 on, 1 off, 3 on, 1. But every day that you do your squats, it goes up by 5. So by like day 30, you're doing 950 squats a day. And, you know, they showed like a before picture and an after picture. And I was like, I would like a nice looking ass, but I'm not sure I've got that much mental capacity in me to do 950 squats a day. And we're not talking like a squat press or a leg press or anything. This is just like, you know, you standing there and then doing squats and doing 950 squats a day, let alone 50 a day, you know, because I do 3 sets of 10. When I'm doing my stuff, but I can't imagine doing 50.
Yeah. No, that's a lot of time.
A lot.
I think my whole thing is, I mean, people that want to exercise and be fit and yada, 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 all that stuff, the dad bod is coming back. Remember that. You know, every 10 steps, do a squat when walking somewhere or down the hallway or,
I saw that just, one.
Yeah,
well, I saw that one time in a video. It was just like a surveillance video of this lady. She took 10 steps in a grocery store, then pulled down her pants, took a crap, and then got back up and kept walking.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not talking that way. I mean, I'll never forget. I watched a homeless woman squat and take a dump in the middle of Newbury Street at 5:30 in the morning on a summer day. And it was great. It was right in front of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel on Newbury Street. And
as one would.
Squatted.
Oh,
and
my
dumped.
Gosh.
And I thought, you know what? We were sitting in the public gardens, and I thought, you know, that is just really, really classic. I enjoyed it for a second. That was, you know, way before camera phones and shit like that. We had no idea, but because that would have been, I would have videotaped that was great. She was wonderful. She had this pink and yellow and orange, and she was just having a good time.
She's festive, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So today we got Frank coming up for the RuPaul review. And then at 11:30, we will have Mr. Adam Sank, who didn't get married yesterday.
Holy cow. I love Adam Sank. And of course, you know, we always say, I remember when he was on the Derek and Romaine show. Well, he still is on the Derek and Romaine show. He's just on DerekandRomaine.com. But he is one of the most interesting, smart, funny comics that I think that we could ever hope to have on the show. So that is a major score.
I know. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. And I want to talk about his album because I was one of the first people that signed up for it. I got the download, the physical copy. And it's really good. I mean, I can't believe he's waited this long to put an album out, but it's tough to do. I mean, you know how hard it's not an easy thing to put an album out.
It just takes a lot of money and you know, and time and effort and that type of stuff. So anybody who puts product out, I'm always, you know, Adam. And so number one, Adam's comedy is top shelf. So I'm not saying this about him, but anybody can put stuff out there that is crap.
Right.
But when you put stuff out there, that's because they got people with pockets. But when you got people who actually have talent, that are putting material out there. You know, and those are the kind of folks that we focus on 6 days a week here on the show, whether it's, you know, Super Gay Radio, LGBT Radio, or just Rated G Radio. You know, I don't put schlocky people on the show because I've got slots to fill. I mean, I'm booked 6 months in advance for most of the stuff, and I'm not saying that to brag. It's just the fact, because when you start getting good people on, good people are like, oh, I've got to tell my other good people friends. And you know, so on and so on. So it's, you know, it's an honor when we have somebody like Adam taking time out of a Saturday to come on here and spend some time with us and talk about his stuff, because he's top shelf. So this is a get.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be, he's a sweetheart. He's an, I've been harassing him for over a decade, and he's a real nice, genuine guy, and he puts up with my shit.
And I love that he has this like New York attitude, you know, and he's just got this kind of like a sharpness to it that is just charming.
Well, and he even plays to straight audiences. He plays to quite a few straight audiences. There's a benefit, I can't think of what it's for, he'll tell us, that he does in his hometown of New Jersey every year, and fills up a fucking Moose Lodge or something like that. I mean, something that you wouldn't picture a gay comedian like packing the room, and they just love him because gayness is part of his comedy, but it's not the central focus.
It's not it. He's just funny, period.
Yeah. No. And now I'm thrilled. I mean, because OutQ's gone, John Fugelsang has been picking up and having him on Thursdays, usually Thursdays at 4 o'clock Eastern. John Fugelsang will have him on. Adam is one of John's favorite comedians. We found out from Jorge Olivares, who is in our archives. But Frank should be on the line.
He's here now. He calls in on time every week. So I I didn't want to cut you off midstream and say, shut it, Paul. We got, you know, no, we got Miss Viola.
You can
calling.
Do that. Yeah, the only time of the week you can do that is now.
Okay, well then, shut it, Paul, because without further ado, we got Frank calling in for the RuPaul Review. How are you, Frank?
I'm good. How are you, Garrett?
I'm excited that you're here. Thanks for calling back.
Oh, my God, of course. I love it. It's my favorite part of the week.
Yay. Well, you're
he
here.
He loves punishment. He loves punishment. Ladies and gentlemen, he's single and a sub.
I love a single sub. I do, you know, extra meat, extra cheese.
The $5 foot long.
You know. I tell you. Now, Gary, you know, now certain days of the week you can get the special sub for $3.50.
What? They don't have that out here.
Well, see, it's inflation in California, Garrett.
That's
called regional marketing.
Also,
I love it.
Yeah, Miss Viola also has a special in, so.
Well, I do. You eat there enough, you know.
That's it. So, Paul was right as far as when Miss Nisha was going to be packing up her heels and leaving once again.
You know, I thought to myself driving into work this morning, I said, you know, that's the first thing he's going to say. That's the first thing he's going to say. And I said that to my roommate the night we watched it. I said, you know that that's exactly what Paul's going to rub that in so hard on Saturday morning.
Not really hard. I'm just, when I watched her walk away, it's like, oh, you know, you should just pick them at the beginning and stop watching. But I will say, I will not throw any shade her way at all for leaving the bathing suit and outfit for Chi-Chi.
Yeah, I know I'm supposed to be nice, but it gets harder and harder as the season goes on to be very nice every single time, because there was a lot wrong with this last episode. And
oh, tell us.
I think, anyway. And, you know, I feel like they're setting Chi-Chi up for it to be the season when Tyra Sanchez won. Because, don't get me wrong, I think Tyra Sanchez is very talented. I don't think she should have won that season. And I firmly stand behind that. And I feel like it's the beginning of that with Chi-Chi. Now, I like Chi-Chi. I think that there's something there. But I don't want to hear about the fact that you're poor. Because you know what, bitch? So am I. Okay? So are most drag queens. Look, we don't get into drag for money. If people think that we perform for money, then they're no. Like if we make enough to pay for the dress that we bought at the Salvation Army earlier that day, it's a good day. Okay. Let's be realistic here. So I don't want to hear it. So, oh, you get a sad story. Great. So does half of the rest of the audience that's watching that show right now.
Right.
And then her presentation was just so blech. Like, and then honestly, I mean, yeah, she did some backflips, but to me, like, doesn't make you a great performer, you know? I mean, makes you great in bed and a good lay, I'm sure. But I mean, for God's sake, I don't care. You can do a backflip, perform the song. You know, when Latrice Royale stood on that stage and did "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman" holding a pregnant belly, that was a performance. Okay, this was just like, let's see who can flip more. You know,
but,
I don't know.
The only thing else in Chi-Chi's defense, as far as the lip sync, I'll just say it looked like she wanted it more. And
yeah,
that's
Nasha,
where,
something happens,
you know,
to Nasha when she lip syncs. It's just kind of like she gets disconnected.
She's disconnected because it's not something that she's used to having to do.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
Because I think that, because, I mean, it's all overproduced. It's all edited to fuck. And the reality of it is Chi-Chi was chosen because she's a broke-ass queen from Louisiana.
Right.
Going up against queens who either have sugar daddies and support them in pageants or, you know what I mean? We need one from this group, one from this group, one from this group, then throw them all together and see what we get.
Exactly.
So, but see, I really think Bob is going to run away with the crown finally when it all comes down to it. I think it's going to be the Black Bianca Del Rio season, only because it's always gone. I like them, I hate them, I like them, I hate them, I like them, I hate them. As far as the winners. And
none of us are real big fans of Violet Chachki from last year, so
We're going to start calling her real name, Grape Chapstick.
That's all I will say is that. Just that.
She is as interesting as Grape Chapstick. So
it's a shame too, because I think there was real potential in that season that sort of got lost and honestly, I think that season was kind of like how American Idol's been. You know, you don't want to win, you want to come in as a runner up because you're going to have a better career. I mean, look at Mrs. Kasha Davis. I mean, my God. I mean, she was just in New York City doing her two-woman show at Laurie Beachman. I mean, she's traveling all over the place. She's going to the UK soon. I mean, come on, you know.
Okay.
And Tempest Azure, I mean, Tempest went home first. Look at the career she's made for herself. And you and I talked about that last week. I mean, my God, you know, you don't want to win that season. You want to come in fourth or fifth, you know.
But the thing is it's also like Gary and I were saying before you came on, marketing. These girls are out there marketing themselves. You know, Trixie Mattel is out there marketing. They're all out there. They're hawking online. They're getting their name out there. Kasha Davis is going to be on the 16th. But, you know, I remember her telling a story on one of her videos how she came home and all of a sudden, how come the phone's not ringing on the hook? I was on RuPaul's Drag Race. You know, it wasn't until she started getting on top of her game and making phone calls herself and getting out there to rain more and things like that, that all of a sudden, and I mean, she works. They did New York this week. She's on her way to Colorado the weekend. You know, it's not
easy.
Well,
a big plus for her, and I think it's something that oftentimes gets forgotten about in drag, is the fact that she has a really incredible husband that's by her side and that does so much work to further her career. I mean, Mr. Davis is just an absolute joy to work with. I mean, he takes care of all the girls' needs when they're, when they're at a show and he's there with them. And I mean, he's really just beyond fantastic. And he's a great tool for her, a great marketing tool. So she's, you know, they got their stuff together, you know?
Yep. He himself is a really nice guy. A friend of mine who was a teacher at my school is friends with him because he worked with them that her husband worked in. Da, da, da. I was his Facebook friend. I lost him in one of my purges. And
see,
but I was his Facebook
hard.
Friend. No, I know, I know. But Kosh is my friend.
You put your finger too far down your throat.
Well, the thing is, no, it's I tend to purge people that aren't active. And
that's true.
Yeah. You know, he was active on his page, but he wasn't active on anything of mine. So that's who I purge to kind of let other people in. So, but okay, now do you still have the same top three? Who are your top three?
Oh, top three. Okay, my top three now are going to be, and God, I don't like this, but I'm going to say Chi-Chi Devane. I'm going to say Acid Betty, and I'm going to say Bob the Drag Queen.
I agree with that, but I think it's going to be Thorgy Thor and Acid Betty.
I think Thorgy Thor is going to be fourth. I think she's going to go home fourth.
Okay.
I think she's going to have a very nice fourth place finish.
She was at Kasha Davis's show this Thursday.
You know what? Yeah, I saw that. You know what killed me? I was supposed to be there. And I had tickets bought and purchased, and then I got very sick this week, and I'm finally now feeling like a human being again, but I was not able to go. And so I gave them to a couple of friends that live in the city, and I'm watching Thorgy's video on Instagram of Kasha performing her Bette Midler song, and she pans out the camera, and there are my two friends right in the front row watching the performance, and I thought, that bitch is right there in my seat.
See? Well, that's what happens.
See how
that's okay.
It's all right. I mean, I get to see her again in 2 months anyway, so that's okay.
Right, and think of the karma that you're putting out there. You put out the good, and the good will come back to you.
That's true. You have to. So what were your top three?
My top three would be Bob the Drag Queen, Thorgy Thor, and Robbie.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
See, I sort of lost Robbie this episode, but not like I don't detest her as much as I thought I was going to. I feel a more human side of her coming out now, and I'm enjoying her a little bit more than I was.
See, I think that some of that is planned. You know what I mean? Starting out, she was bottom, and then all of a sudden she wins, and, you know,
yeah.
I think it's going to be the whole evolution, and, oh, look, she finally got it. It finally clicked. That light went off. And get her up to the top three. I don't think she's going to work with it.
I really think
it's going to go to Bob. But I got to say, the more that I've watched on the Untucked and videos, I really like Thor a lot more than I would, than I thought I would.
Right.
It's the dreadlocks when he's a boy that kill him. You know, I want to grab my shears and just run over there and say, I can fix that. I'm a hairdresser. but that's just me. So, but yeah, no, we're off week. But on
I know you are, and it's a big episode on Monday, Paul. It's
I know, I know, I know. But we're going to do a super size super gay radio on the 16th. So
oh,
we will
I love
be
super
sing both episodes that
perfect.
Happen between now and then, just before Mrs. Kasha Davis comes on. So that's going to be fun and exciting, and I won't talk to you privately online about RuPaul's Drag Race because I like this little interchange that we have.
I do too. The last thing I say before I let you go, because I know Adam's coming on, is if Derek Berry doesn't go home soon, I'm going to explode.
Me too. Because the thing is, you know what? He doesn't need it, number one. And
the bitch had a shake and go wig on when she walked out onto that runway, and I don't understand how she's allowed to get away with it every single week.
Because RuPaul handpicked her for the season. Nobody's going to convince me that didn't happen.
Oh, no, I agree. I just don't understand.
No, because, I mean, there were rumors online that RuPaul was at five of her shows in the last year in Las Vegas.
Oh, probably. Probably.
It's like, you know, so seriously. But,
yeah.
Oh, that's shade, and that's up for Joni McGovern on Hey Queen. But I'm glad you're feeling better. Great luck with your show tonight. Mention your show.
It's not tonight. It's next Saturday. I have two shows next Saturday. I have a Children's Miracle Network benefit at the Starlight Room in Elmira, New York at 7 o'clock next Saturday night. And then later that night at the 205 Club in Elmira, I have my I Love the 80s party at the 205 Club in Elmira, New York at 10 p.m.
Oh, wonderful. I'll give you one hint. Two shows in one night. Change everything in between.
Even underwear?
Well, the
even underwear. No, because you sweat a
lot. You need everything, Garrett.
You sweat a lot. I mean, if the duct tape is still holding, keeping everything in place, you can leave that where it is. But everything
I have to put a fresh day pad on, but in between shows, or it's just terrible.
Oh, in a few years, you can use it depends, and everything will work out fine.
Oh, the Whoopi Goldberg line. All right, you boys have a wonderful day. Mwah, mwah.
You too. Mwah, mwah. Bye, doll. I fucking love
it. I love when Frank is on.
I do too. I do. He absolutely. Oh, he thrills me.
You know, I think one of the reasons that I like when you have your interchange with him is because I actually learn about the RuPaul's Drag Race, since I don't have it on here. And I know you told me there's a way I can go watch it, but it's, you know, if I can't just click a button and have it magically take place, Garrett's not doing it. So I love hearing about the RuPaul review.
It's fun. It's because I'm not a huge fan. I wasn't a huge fan of the show. I wouldn't say that I'm a huge fan now. It's like I keep it and I watch it when I can. But it's really done a lot for the community, and it's gotten dragged out. Some say a little too mainstream or whatever. I think that, you know, all good is good. When we're facing shit like North Carolina and all of these anti-gay and anti-trans bills, you know, what better to fight anti-trans than having a world celebrated television show of men in dresses? So I do tip my hat to that. And Frank just thrills. He's always thrilled me. He's just
a great guy. Hey, by the way, I want to make sure that everybody knows that Adam Sank is going to be joining us in just a couple of moments, and he's got a new CD that's out called Live from the Stonewall Inn. On my Facebook page, I've actually put a link to that on Amazon for you. But if for some reason you don't buy it today, and shame on you, you should go buy Live from the Stonewall Inn by Adam Sank today. I've also added this as the number one CD on the Rated G Radio swag page on Amazon. So if you are, you know, listening to the other shows and you want to click back in and say, where did I need to go to get Adam's CD? Well, you can click on the Rated G Radio swag page, and he's the number one CD on the music section. So I'll leave him up there for a few weeks. And if you want to just make it easy as you're doing all of your other show shopping on Amazon, it will be there highlighted just for you. So there you go.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. And it's like $11. I mean, it's not,
yeah,
you know.
And can we remind everybody again that the $11 is the best investment you're going to make in yourself today? You're going to go, you know, think of it this way. You can go to Starbucks and buy maybe a large and a half of coffee or whatever overpriced crap they're going to sell you in a cup. And you're going to have that gone and out of your body in, you know, minutes. And your other option is to spend $11 on something you can listen to over and over and over. You can delight your friends on road trips, have, you know, comedy parties starring Adam Swank, and you can pop some popcorn and play some board games and listen to, you know, his comedic talents. All for $11, and you can do that for years and years and years. So, you know, support the people that come on the show.
I'll say it just before it comes on, but he'll repeat it. But everything is at Adam Sank, S-A-N-K, at Adam Sank for Twitter, for Instagram, for Facebook, for everything is always at Adam Sank. Follow him. Every once in a while, he'll give a cute ass shot. And
he's quite the looker.
He's super, super hot. He's a Jew, I would do. well, no, there's several of them, but no, he's really hot. He's really funny, and he not only can tell a joke, but he can take a joke, which is one of the things that absolutely thrills me about him.
Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely.
Well, guess who's calling into the show right now? And he is here, Mr. Adam Sank. Welcome to Super Gay Radio. How are you?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Can we hear you now? Can we hear you?
Hello, yes. Garrett, and hello, Shithead.
Hey, Adam. Okay, what's the underwear?
Right now?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me pull down my PJs. I am wearing a very cute pair of Perry Ellis. It's sort of a cross between a tighty whitey and a boxer brief. They're like very short boxer briefs.
Ooh,
and I
the
like
trunk.
Them because they have a nice little pouch on them, and they really flatter my not that impressive penis and make it look ample.
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah.
they're called trunks, dear.
Yeah, they're trunks, and they're super soft too. I buy them online for $7 a pair because I'm a Jew.
Cheaper than your album.
I need to get that link because the last time I had underwear that was like that, it was the Marky Mark Calvin Klein stuff from back in the day.
No, see,
and that was way
like,
too expensive.
If you wear those like 3 or 4 times, they become a tennis skirt. All of the elasticity comes out of them, and they're too long and they're too baggy. These are like these never lose their like they're kind of spandexy almost, and they're just good.
I love that. Okay,
I'm getting a weird noise from my computer. Is that you guys? Hold on.
It could be. I don't know, Paul. What are you doing?
Somebody's trying to FaceTime you.
Yeah, that's... Oh. What the fuck is that, man? Sorry, guys. Yeah. Hold on.
Probably your husband.
No, it's...
Yeah, because he got married yesterday, right?
Do you know what happens? Because my name is Adam, I'm the first person that comes... I'm the first name in everyone's phone.
Right.
So people butt dial me all the time and butt FaceTime me all the time.
Let's see. I'd be
anyway.
Well, maybe we should just change your name to like Zadam
Sank. What's that?
We should change your name to Zadam Sank, starting with the Z, so you know you don't get that butt dial.
Well, exactly. Thank you for plugging my album so enthusiastically. By the way, I appreciate it.
Oh my
god, we're
here
to move
some
merch.
Just a correction, though, Paul. It is not $11. It's actually $9.99 for the download.
Oh, I know, but I'm talking the physical copy. You want to hold Adam Sank in your palm.
Well, most people do and have.
I know.
So, Adam, tell us about the CD. I believe that this set some type of records on Amazon.
I don't know that it set any records, but it did go to number one of all stand-up comedy downloads for about a week, which was kind of shocking to me because – you know, it means that I was ahead of like Eddie Murphy and Robin Williams and, you know, like people who are 100 times more famous and accomplished than I will ever be. As well as like all of the sort of hot comics of today. But it also shows you just how few people purchase comedy that it doesn't take that many downloads and that many purchases to really send a comedy album up the charts. So, in a way, it was great. In another way, it was kind of like whatever, you know. But it was fun. It was fun to see, you know, number one, Adam Sank live at the Stonewall Inn, and at the same time, it was number one on Amazon. It was number one for all of iTunes comedy new releases.
Wow!
Which is not quite as exciting, but it's, you know, it's still more than I ever expected. I had never done an album before. I had no idea what was involved. I didn't know, like, how do you get it out there and how does it get sold?
Well, how did you?
Well, it was kind of easy, I have to say. The first thing I did was I decided I wanted to record a show professionally. And I actually had Ken Kleiber of That's Kentertainment record it for me because he's an old friend and he is good with technical stuff. And he'd videotaped some of my shows in the past just so I could have a copy. And I knew that he was good, and you know, I trust him completely. So I booked the Stonewall because it's a small, intimate space. I knew I could sell it out easily, and at the same time I thought, like, I don't know, something about live from the Stonewall Inn sounds really cool. It's the most historic site for the LGBT community, and it just seemed kind of like appropriate to, if you're going to do a gay comedy album, why not do it at the Stonewall? Plus, they're always really good to me there. They're just, you know, a lot of places you work with, they treat comics like shit, and the Stonewall has always been really, really kind and generous, and the guy who runs it is this guy Mike Solinari, who I would very much like to blow, because he's sexy.
But you didn't get the gig?
He's never invited me to do so. What was that, Paul?
You didn't get the gig? You didn't have to do that?
No.
You got
no,
it
I would have done
merit?
It for no gig. I would have done
wow.
it just for the pleasure of the penis. But anyway, so once I had it recorded and I listened to it and I could tell it was a really, really good recording, I was like, well, what now? And I approached my agents and I said, what do we do with this? And they sort of knew exactly what to do, and they hooked me up with this company called Comedy Dynamics, which produces so many comedy, you know, like every big comic you can name today, like pretty much has an album out with Comedy Dynamics. And it was a very simple deal, and they basically do all the work for me and take a percentage of whatever money is generated, and that was it. So I didn't
you
have
make
to do
that sound so simple.
It was so simple, and also I had a lot of help from good friends of mine. You know, my friend John Petra took the picture of me in front of the Stonewall and made a poster out of it, and then he adapted that poster into the cover of the CD. And then another friend of mine just randomly took pictures during the show. I didn't even know he was going to do that, and they turned out really well, so that I used those pictures for the inside cover art. So it was very much like a, you know, an Adam Sank and Friends effort, and everyone pitched in, and I didn't have to put out a lot of money, and it was just like doing any other show, except it went really well.
That's so cool. Because it came out fantastic. I mean, I got the download first, and then I got the physical copy because I wanted it in the car with me. Elmo just kills me. But no, like I was saying before you came on, now what's the benefit that you do every year for your parent, your hometown?
So every year I do a fundraiser for the Summit Area YMCA in Summit, New Jersey. They fund a number of youth programs for like at-risk youth and at-risk families. And each year I serve as like the host / comedian / auctioneer, and we raise about $100,000 for it.
Wow. That's
why
a
do you
lot
ask
of
that,
money.
Though?
Because, well, the thing I was just saying, you cross over. You don't do strictly gay audiences. Your comedy transcends, and, I mean, you can stand up in front of a Moose Lodge and have people laugh. You're a talented comedian. You know, I love you on John Fugelsang. I love you on John Fugelsang.
You
need to speak up more.
I see. I feel like I talk too much on that show.
No, not enough. No, I think you're shy in front of them.
No, you have to understand there's four of us. There's usually four of us there.
Yep.
So there's John, there's Frank, his co-host, and then there's me and another comedian. So I am so conscious of, like, not speaking more than 25% of the time, and really I should speak less because I'm not the host.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, you're funny, and John loves your comedy. I mean,
can I tell you something? He is the most generous comedian I've ever known, in the sense that, in every sense, but really in the sense that, like, he's always trying to make other comedians funnier. Like, he will set you up. He will throw you exactly the right question or exactly the right lead-in right when you need it. He's just really good at knowing exactly what you need. So, like, every time someone says something and I go, well, I prefer the porn version of that, and then he says, and what's the name of that, Adam? Like, he always knows what I want. And it makes doing his show so much fun and so easy. And a lot of comedians are not like that. A lot of comedians just want to be the funniest person in the room, and that's not Fugelsang at all. He's really a great guy.
Right. Right. Now, speaking of appearances, did you hear Romaine mention, I think it was this week, that she doesn't like interviewing, or no, I'm sorry, it was Derek on Dennis Hensley's podcast. She doesn't like interviewing or having comics on because they're hard to get going. But you're a regular on Derek and Romaine and always have been.
You know, it's interesting with those two, because when I started with them, it didn't go well. My first couple appearances with Derek, and for some reason I want to say Romaine wasn't there for either one of them. For some reason I think she was off, but maybe she was there for one. But I know at one point it was just Derek and me doing a phoner when I lived in San Diego. It didn't go well. I didn't get them, and they definitely didn't get me. And they're like a tough nut to crack at first, because they have such a rhythm with each other, and it's almost like this weird incestuous brother sister relationship where, like, they have their own secret language, and they're not really that they're not really that welcoming to outsiders. You know, like usually when you're on a show, the host just asks you question after question after question. Like, they didn't ask me any questions.
Right.
And I was like, well, why am I here? Like, do you guys want to know anything about me? And I remember very specifically the second time I was on, I was doing this phoner with Derek, and he was like, let's take some calls from the listeners. And this listener called in and goes, Derek, this guy's a fucking asshole, and I think you don't like him either. And I was like, yeah, I don't think you do either. Like, I agree with the caller. Because, you know, Derek is like, well, I don't dislike him. You know how Derek is.
Right.
But then I sort of figured them out, and I figured out what they like and sort of how to make them happy. And it became, you know, just like a treat every time I got to be on the show with either of them or both of them together. And now, you know, Derek is one of my best friends now. Romaine and I don't really see each other socially, but I love her. I think she likes me. And I'm very comfortable with them. But it's very different experience than being on with Frank or being on with John or being on with you guys. Like, it's not an interview.
Right.
They don't interview people.
No, I never thought of it that way until you said it, but you're spot on. And I don't remember that show. I must have missed that night when the second time when you said it, because that would have been burnt into my memory. Well, I would have laughed my ass off.
I think what I've enjoyed having when Adam's on the Derek and Romaine show, as one example, is you just come on and it's like you're just one of the gang. So it's not like they really need to, you know, do the, Adam, tell us about your comic roots. And, you know, it's like they're past all that. So let's come on the show and just have some fun.
I had sort of had to make that happen, though, you know. I realized what it was with them is they – they'd rather talk about themselves. And I don't mean that in like a cunty way. Like, they just, they're more comfortable talking about themselves than interviewing someone else. So I would just be like, Derek, I heard this happened. Or Romaine, is it true that you did this? And then now you're in a conversation with them.
Right. Yeah.
I think that how they started. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and also because I was a regular listener, like, I knew the show, I knew who the callers were. I knew Paul and Matt, I knew Stan and Austin. I knew all the sort of the intricacies of the show, and that made me a better guest.
Yes.
So what's next
you
for
are
you?
A great guest, but I'm sorry, Garrick, go ahead.
Well, so what are you working on now besides, you know, living off all the royalties from Live from the Stonewall Inn?
Oh, my God, they are rolling in. You know, I've yet to see a penny. It takes a long time.
It takes a minute or two.
Yeah, it does. And also, it's funny, nowadays, any money that you get is primarily from streaming. It's not from album purchases or downloads.
Right.
Because honestly, so few people want to own audio anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll stream it, they'll listen to it once, and then that's it. Because why fill up your computer or your home with space? You know, whether it's virtual or actual. But every time it gets played on Sirius XM, I get a few pennies, and every time it gets streamed on any service, I get a few pennies. So I'm waiting for the first quarter to come in, but it's not going to be enough to retire on. It might
so do you
be
have
enough.
A do you have a preferred go format ahead. That you want people to go listen to it if they are going to have a stream, or are you pushing CDs? Because
yeah,
I'll push whatever you would like, and
I would love
send
it if people buy the CD.
Okay. Well, everybody has to buy the CD.
It's kind of fun because it has the track listings and it's got, like, I have liner notes where I thank everyone and I tried to make those funny and there's some pictures. But also, if I understand the contract, which I may not, I think I get more money from the CDs. But honestly, either way, I'm happy for anyone to be able to listen to my comedy, even if they just go on YouTube and watch my videos for free. It's nice because, you know, that's why we do this. We do it for an audience. We want to make people laugh.
Now, I could talk to you all day. I really could, but we only got like 5 minutes left. I want you to talk about your AIDS Walk New York, please.
Yes. Well, the AIDS Walk is very important to me because the first time I did it, I got AIDS on the AIDS Walk. I was the first person to – no, that's not true. I the first time I did it, I raised a lot of money and had an amazing time. And
and Adam, you were so bad.
Every year, I've raised more and more money for them. You know, the money goes to HIV services organizations. So it's really people who are kind of falling outside the safety net. And some of them are homeless. Some of them have no access to food, to medication. And so it's really a life-saving organization. And GMHC, you know, initially it was Gay Men's Health Crisis, and it was founded by gay men for gay men because, you know, this horrible new disease had struck and no one knew what it was, and it was literally just set up in Larry Kramer's apartment as a support group and a hotline. And it has grown into this multi-million-dollar service organization, which nowadays probably serves more straight people of both sexes and including trans people than it does gay men. You know, it's not about gay men anymore, but it's still life-saving and it's still so vital. And so I feel like those of us who are living with HIV like I am and have access to health insurance and access to meds and family and support, like we are so blessed to be living in this time, and now we have to give back to those people who are not so fortunate and don't have those advantages. And so that's why it's the one organization that I raise money for every year. And this year I've set a goal of 15,000, which is a lot. Last year I only raised 10, so I really kind of shot for the moon this year. And I'm up to like 9,000 something as of this minute. So I'm close to 10, but I still have a ways to go. So all people need to do is go to adamsank.com. Right on the home screen, there's a link to my AIDS Walk page. And that's the easiest way to donate. You can donate online. You just put in your credit card number. It's completely safe and secure. All of the money goes to GMHC. It's 100% tax deductible, and it's eligible for matching donations. So if you work for a company that offers corporate matching, you should definitely let them know that you donated so that they can match that and give even more money to the organization.
Excellent. And are you still doing your CD deal?
You know, I sort of ran out of CDs.
Okay. No,
but,
good.
But, yeah, I mean, I had a deal going for a while where if anyone donated $100, they got an autographed CD for free sent to them. If you donate $100 and you really, really want that autographed CD, you can send me a private Facebook message, or you can email me through my website. It's adam@adamsank.com, and I will try to hook you up. I just, you know, supplies are somewhat limited as far as the CDs go.
For $100 or more.
That's right.
Always at the or more. No, because
or
you
more.
Do a fantastic job. I try and support when I can because it's something that's very close to me, even though I'm not in New York City. I think that it's a cause that is well worth supporting. It is tax deductible. And you give back a lot to the community. I mean, you really do a lot for the community. And I very rarely have ever heard where somebody's asked you to do something and you've said no. So I completely appreciate that, and as much as I harass you and harangue you, you are absolutely one of my favorite people on the planet, and I am just honored that you would show up here on my stupid little podcast. So thanks. I love you.
I love you, shithead, and thank you so much for all of your publicity and your generosity. And you honestly, Paul does share my Facebook posts probably more than any other human being on earth.
It's worth it. You're good. I don't share shitty people. I do.
Nor
not
should
share,
you.
No, absolutely not. No, you're funny. You're good. You have a warm heart, and at least you have
a
lady
bowl
to keep you warm. And I rumor has it, lady would know more than anybody.
There in so long, it's probably closed up.
Oh, see that? Okay, born again virgin.
My
that's
hymen
born
grew
again.
Back.
Yeah, well, that's a born again that you can be.
Yeah.
So. Thanks so much for showing up, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Everybody
thank
go
you
to
guys,
AdamSnack.com.
Thanks for all the promotion.
Well, also for the show page today for the Super Gay Radio, we've just put a link to Adam's AIDS Walk New York. So if you can't remember to go to AdamSnack.com because you're that lazy, you can just click on the link for the show today, and it will take you right to his fundraising page, and you can donate your $100 or more and get that tax deduction that you're going to need at the end of the year. So do that today.
Thank
or
you. And quite honestly, if it's a choice between buying my CD or making a donation, I'd rather you make a donation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks,
have
guys.
A great day.
Love
appreciate you.
Bye, Joel.
So, what a treat that was.
Oh, absolutely. And honestly, Adam is grateful for $5 or $500 because every little tiny bit helps.
Every dollar helps. And, you know, we make such a big deal about, okay, give $1,000. Not a lot of people have $1,000 mm-hmm. to sit around that they want to do. If you do, that would be great. But $100 right now, that's a big ask for even me. So, you know, if I can donate $5 or $10 or $1, you know,
absolutely.
In the global collective, it all adds up, and it's a great way to help support people that need some assistance. So thanks, Adam, for doing that.
So, and it's one of the top rated HIV AIDS charities in the country as far as the amount of money that actually goes out and not for fees,
admin
admin and stuff like that. So it's fantastic. They do fantastic work, and he walks with the New York City Gay Men's Chorus because he's also in the chorus that we didn't get to.
He's got a great voice.
Oh, he really does. He really, really does. And like I said, he's a sweet guy. He's really, mm-hmm. really is a sweet guy. So I'm thrilled that he could join us.
I would love for Adam to have his own show on radio, much like, you know, like the frequent guest on Derek and Romaine that he is. It'd be awesome if he had his own show. So I'm just putting that out there in the universe because I would listen to him for an hour a day.
Oh, absolutely. I think that would be, I would call him daily. So
well,
if anybody wants to
he's got a great following. It wouldn't surprise me. You know, people love talking to Adam, and he gives them great rashes of you know, crap along the way, and it's just hysterical. So good for Adam. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So all
right.
We got 7 minutes left, Paul. So who are we going to promote and celebrate this week that we need to make sure to give some props to?
I have to say that Calpurnia Adams is gone for 2 months to Europe to record her album. Her Kickstarter made all the money that she needed and the stretch goal. So congratulations to her for that, because I've heard some of her songs that's on the album, and they're just fantastic. It's that old torch song, cabaret.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. We don't have any of that out there now. Not new stuff. And this is
we need
all
to get her
album
on the Friday Night Dance Party when that's all done. Do it like a world premiere.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I believe the album is dropping. Don't hold me to this, but it's either late summer or early fall.
That means early fall, but okay.
I want to say it's either August or October, but I don't know. We'll stay on top of that.
We'll work on that one, because I would love to have Calpurnia on, and we'll do the big promo, and we can do two shows. We can have the Friday Night Dance Party and then have her on Super Gay Radio.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because, I mean, she's just been an activist for years and years and years. But Alec and Rachel are still doing their Nooner show on Wednesdays on UBN at 12 o'clock Pacific, 3 o'clock East. Scott Fullerton, who we talked to the other day, has some new shows coming up, I believe, in a couple of weeks. So I wanted to give a little plug to him.
I love Scott's shows because, you know, he is one of these people that is not afraid, not like we're afraid either, you know, but he's not afraid to go after big guests with big names, with big stories, and he has them on the show all the time. And I don't know how he does it because he has multi-hour talk shows. And for me, an hour is quite enough. Because at the end of the hour, I'm done. You know, I'm like, my brain can't handle asking any more questions. That's proven this past week when I had David Essel on in hour one, and I did an hour two with Miracle Mike Hennessy. You know, and I only got Mike for like 20 minutes before he had to run into the SAG board of directors meeting. And by the end of that, I was like, can we just go to music for like 40 more minutes, please? So I have no idea how Scott does it multiple days a week. I think he's very brave and spectacular for doing so.
Oh, absolutely. But I'll say I did listen to that show and you did a good job. And you don't sound haggard the end of the last
hour. Oh, I'm not haggard. But it's like I think I kind of like run out of questions. It's like, didn't I ask that question already? Or was that the other guest? Or, you know, so there's a little bit of that.
Oh, people don't care.
Okay. Well, if they don't care, then I'm going to write seven questions down, and those are the only seven. It'll be like on the Actor's Studio. What's your favorite swear word and why? You know, so we'll start doing that. Okay.
Well, that's what I do. I write questions every single week for the show, and I never ask one of the damn questions that I write because I just end up.
See what that does when you, because I do the same thing, and it's just like with David Essel this week. I really did have I'm looking at my call sheet right now, and it has like, I don't know, 40, 45 questions on here. And I think I might have approached two or three of the conversation topics just because, I thought, well, what happens if he doesn't talk? But, you know, of course, he's had a talk show for 30 years and he's been on TV. He was a perfect guest, but you never know. And you just have to have stuff ready for backup in case, you know, they clam up or something, which is interesting because rarely do we, you know, get into a situation where a guest doesn't want to talk.
No, but I'm always afraid they're going to be the one word answers.
Right. Yes. No.
That's what I'm always, always afraid of.
Well, you know, I tell everybody who's a guest on the show Monday through Wednesday, and those are, you know, my authors, my actors, my, you know, whatever. Tell everybody, they get a boilerplate email, and I always say, I highly encourage telling stories. Yes or no answers on the radio does not work for this format. So please be prepared to be chatty. And I think that shocks and scares some of the people because they're like, I don't know what to say. I said, trust me, we're going to have a great time doing this. Don't freak out. And afterwards, they're like, okay, yeah, that was awesome. I'm like, see, I'm not going to make you look bad. We want you to be good. We want to sell some merchandise and have you back. But a lot of people who would normally give a yes or no answer, they're brought out of their shell a little bit. And they'll always say, did I talk too much? And I said, that was perfect.
Oh, you could never talk too much. Just keep going. I mean,
Here we go. So we got a minute and a half left. So what are you going to do with the rest of your day, Paul?
I have absolutely no friggin' idea. It's kind of up in the air. See, isn't that, that's an awful answer for radio. I should have made something up.
Something up. What are you cooking for dinner?
Oh, actually, I started the beef stroganoff. I'm making homemade beef stroganoff and blueberry muffins for dinner. We're off next week. And on April the 16th, we will have a supersized Super Gay Radio, 90 minutes long.
90 minutes on April 16th. We've got Miss Viola coming back, Frank, who we heard earlier with the RuPaul review, and then Kasha Davis.
Yes, Mrs. Kasha Davis will be on the 11:30 to 12:00, and then we're going to take the extra half hour and see what's going on in the world, and I'll have some opinions on some things. Actually,
I love that.
I know. And this just this minute and a half, I have nothing that I can say that's only going to take a minute and a half, and that's where.
Well, now we got 30 seconds, so you know we're out of time.
30 seconds. Oh my God! Everybody like the Twitter, Super Gay Radio Paul, or SG Radio Paul on Twitter, the Super Gay Radio page on Facebook, the Rated G Radio page on Facebook, and just start.
More importantly, follow this show. Just click the follow button because you'll also get show updates for all 6 days a week. Pick and choose what you want to listen to, but of course, listen to Rated LGBT Radio on Thursday with Rob Watson and myself, and then Super Gay Radio on Saturdays. That's the most important thing.
Absolutely. And,
with that, everybody, please don't drive distracted. We love doing this for and with you. If you'd like to have a guest be on the show or you want to be a guest, contact us. We'll set it up. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.